If you're a visitor, you come to realize very quickly that you're not in a refrigerator. This is an incubator. We are not God's frozen chosen at the First Church of the Frigid Air. That was wonderful, wonderful worship. And if you really wanted to see them getting it together, out there in the back where I just came from, they have the opening of the Sunday school. And they were learning the jive. And I don't want to tell you who was teaching them, but her initials are Becky Peak. I worked up, I started to perspire watching these kids out in the back there, because they're excited. They're glad to be back. They're glad that we start all over again, almost like a new year. Almost like a new year. And if I were scripting the worship service this morning, I could not have scripted it better. Thank you, Jeff and team. That was so beautiful and so fitting for what we want to talk about. I try and read through the Bible every year, and you read a little bit of the Old Testament, a little bit of the New, Psalms and Proverbs. A couple of weeks ago, I shared from Psalm 147, specifically verse 3, although we looked at the first four verses, and verse 3 says that He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. A little bit further in that same psalm, beginning at verse 15, we see these words. He sends out His command to the earth. His words run swiftly. He gives snow like wool. He scatters the frost like ashes. He casts out His hail like morsels. Who can stand before His cold? He sends out His word and melts them. He causes His wind to blow and the waters flow. How many know that our God is in control? Do you know that this morning? That song that they just sang says it so beautifully. He is in control. Let's bow before a holy God this morning. Father, we come to You today and we want to pour ourselves out like a drink offering on the altar, as it says in Philippians chapter 2. We just empty ourselves before You this morning, Lord. You're such an awesome God. You're so full of infinite variety and creativity. You're so full of wonder and majesty. And Father, we bow before You. We ask that You move in our midst. We ask that You fill us, Lord, with Your Spirit, and that the Word of God would speak to us, that it fall down like rain. And we ask all of this in the name that is above all, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Can you turn this off, guys? It's going to get me distracted. There's a rolling thing here that you probably already saw it, but it's going to, you know, I have ADD, you know that. I used to have ADHD, but I got older and heavier. It's true. Okay, I don't know what happened, but that wasn't what we wanted. Anyway, as I said before, this is almost like a new year. You know, this time of year happens, and it's almost like a new year. School started. I don't know. Anybody realize that, recognize that? And all the mothers said, amen. School started. Sunday school just kicked off. But this time of year, you know, we wonder what might happen in the coming months. What might come along that may catch us by surprise. Now, I don't know what's going to happen. And to be quite honest, I don't worry about it. But I do know two things to be true. And the first one is that whatever happens, there are times in my life that things just seem to be totally out of control. there are times when it just seems to be totally out of control. I want us to look this morning at 1 Chronicles chapter 29. And I want to give you a little bit of background because you need to understand that David's life was out of control. David wanted to build the temple so badly. He wanted that temple built, and he told Nathan. And Nathan said, well, man, you got to do what's on your heart. Go ahead and do it. Well, that night God spoke to Nathan and said, no, you got to go back and tell David that he can't do it. And David was disappointed because that was the one great thing in his life that he wanted to accomplish. But God wasn't going to allow him to do it. And when you come to 1 Chronicles chapter 29, you're coming to the end of David's life. It's that time just before he dies. In fact, what's going to take place is they're going to anoint Solomon for the second time. They've already anointed him once, but they anoint him the second time. And there's problems in the kingdom. There are things that are out of control. And David knows what that's like. He knows what it's like to live life and have things totally out of control. There was chaos everywhere. People were wondering, you know, what's going to happen now? David's going to die. And he didn't get to do that one thing that he wanted to do. He didn't have that opportunity to build the temple. And beyond that, who's going to take his place? Who's going to be the king? What is it that we can expect? You know, all of that happens to us in life too, doesn't it? I mean, life is full of the unexpected. Life is full of the unknown. All of that happens in life. But the second thing that I know, and the first one, as I said, is sometimes things seem to be totally out of control. And the second thing is that there are times in our lives when our lives seem personally out of control. And David knew what that was like as well. You know, he was on the run from Saul. Saul is trying to kill him. Saul would track him down like a wild animal and try and take his life. Time and again, David was delivered. God would deliver him time and again. And David had no control over what was taking place in his life. And then there were other times, like the time that he went and lived with the Philistines. Remember, He was with the Philistines, and the Philistines go to the captains of the army go to their king, and they say, we don't trust this guy. We don't trust him as far as we can throw him. You need to do something with him. And then there was a time that his own men turned against him. Remember, the Amalekites attacked the place called Ziklag, and when they did, David took his men's wives and children and possessions, and his men turned on him for that. Rightly so, but yet God delivered him again. Sometimes things in his life were just so out of control, but he comes to this moment. And what I want you to see is that with all of these things in his life, totally out of control, he comes to this moment where he prays in 1 Chronicles 29, beginning in verse 10. And what he is essentially going to say is this: regardless of what the circumstances are, regardless of the choices that you have made, and regardless of whatever change may take place in your life, God is in control. God remains in control. And that's the one thing that I want you to get today. I want you to leave here with that no matter what is taking place in your life, God is in control. And God is in control even when change... Oh, I'm going backwards, sorry. Even when change seems out of control. Now, there were a lot of things changing in the kingdom at that time, a lot of things changing in David's life. And remember, at this point, he didn't have all that long to live, and it was already established that Solomon was going to take his place. He was going to be king, and they come to anoint him a second time. And the reason they have to anoint him a second time is because of Adonijah, another son of David's. And Adonijah is attempting to seize the throne. And I think it's important when we study God's word, when we read God's word, to have an idea of the background of some of this. There is just political upheaval going on. Adonijah is attempting to steal the throne, and he already has Joab, that's David's great general, on his side. He has the military power behind him. He has Abiathar, the high priest, and Abiathar is siding with him, so he has the military and he has the religious component of the nation. And the Lord has said that Solomon would be king. David has said it as well, and Solomon has already been anointed once. And it would be a good time for somebody to come along and try and seize control. Well, all of this change is taking place. All of this change is happening, this upheaval. So it's in the midst of all of that, in the midst of that, David comes and he prays this prayer that we find beginning in verse 10. Therefore, David blessed the Lord before all the assembly. And David said, "Blessed are you, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever." I love those phrases in the Bible. That's a run-on phrase, and it means forever and ever and ever. He's our Father. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, and the glory, the victory, and the majesty. For all that is in heaven and in earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head over all. Both riches and honor come from you, and you reign over all. In your hand is power and might. In your hand it is to make great and to give strength to all. Now, therefore, our God, we thank you and praise your glorious name. Can you imagine, with everything that's going on in the kingdom, everything that's going on in his life, David comes before God and he says, "You are God forever and ever and ever. You are in control." You know, we live in a time of change. I don't know if you figured that out yet, but there is great change that takes place. Every 2 seconds, there's a new website put up. Every 30 seconds, there's a new product comes to market. Every 30 seconds. Imagine. It used to be that computer technology doubled it every 18 months. But now they tell us that knowledge doubles every 18 months. Scientists have developed a chip that can do 1 billion calculations in 1 second. And they say that in the next couple of years, they will have that chip down to its final size, the width of an atom. That's amazing. There is more information given out in 1 hour than we could possibly retain, think about for a lifetime. It seems at times things are just out of control. Out of control. And yet David says, in the midst of all of that, God is still God. God is in control. His word says that I am still God. Besides me, there is no other. God says, I never change. I never change. He is in control. Now, I don't know what kind of change is going on in your life. I know change in some of your lives, perhaps. I don't know what kind of change that we might face over the next few months, but I can tell you there will be change. And the fact is, it may unnerve some of you. That's a reality. But remember, God is in control. Did you get that? God is in control. Second thing is this, he's in control even when change seems out of control. Now, remember, David had made choices in his life that were completely out of control. Choices seem out of control. You ever made choices in your life that somehow get out of control, you know? David made those kind of choices. Seems like he made them all the time. But I want you to look at verse 11 because he does two things here. I just passed over a whole portion. I'm going to back up before I get to verse 11 and explain that David made wrong choices religiously. Remember when he wanted to move the Ark of the Covenant back to Jerusalem? He put it on a cart. Where did he get that idea from? From the Philistines, because that's how they brought it back to Jerusalem. They sent it back to Israel that way. Well, David wanted to do the right thing. He wanted to do what God had told him to do and bring that the ark back, but he was trying to do it man's way, and he made a wrong choice religiously. And then he made a wrong choice morally that night that he stood and he watched Bathsheba. She wasn't out there to tempt him, you know? I mean, yet he stood there and he watched her. And he watched her to the point where he had to have her. And when he sent for her, his choices were out of control. It was a wrong choice religiously and wrong choice morally. And then he also made wrong choices personally. For in 2 Samuel chapter 24, God told him not to number the people. And what's he do? He goes out and numbers the people. He went out and against God's word, against God's will, and watched as thousands of his people died. In fact, in every one of these choices, people died. Each one. Choices out of control. So let me come back to my question. Have you ever made choices that may be out of control? David made those kinds of choices. But now, let's go back to verse 11 because he's going to do two things here. Two things. He prays and he speaks about those attributes of God that belong to God uniquely. And then the second thing is he's going to speak about the attributes of God that belong to him sovereignly. He says in the first phrase, he says, "Yours, O Lord, is greatness." You know, in a sense, that's speaking about the size of God, how big God is. And when the word says that God holds the waters of the world in the palm of his hand, that speaks of the greatness of God. When it says that he measures the heavens with the span of his hand, that speaks of the greatness of our God. And then it staggers the imagination when he says that he hung the world on nothing. It speaks of his greatness. But now look at what he says next about his power. And understand, our God is a God of greatness and of power. That's his ability. And then he speaks of his majesty, and he says the glory and the victory and the majesty. And all of these words speak of the splendor of our God. He says, "Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, and the glory, the victory and the majesty." And they describe the majesty and the glory and the victory and the splendor that is our God's uniquely. And then he speaks to those attributes that belong to God sovereignly. He says, "For all that is in heaven and earth is yours." That's God's ownership. That's God ruling. God rules. He is sovereign over all. He is the all in all. And he says, "Yours is the kingdom, O Lord." That's the word Yahweh. He's saying, "You are Lord. You are the only Lord." And then he says, "You are exalted head over all." And that's the top of the top. There's nothing higher than God. And what David is saying in this is that there are times in our lives when choices are out of control. And you got to wonder, "God, are you out there? It's me over here. It's Bill. Are you there? Is anything you can do with my situation, with my life?" Because we make choices and we have to live with the consequences of those choices. Is there anything God can do? David realized that he had made choices that were just so wrong, choices that were out of control. And the reality is he came to understand that God's greatness and his power and his glory and his victory and his majesty and his lordship over everything makes him Lord of all. He's head over everything. Listen to me, folks. It doesn't matter how bad your choices are or have been. God is in control. God is in control. Your choices may be out of control, but just because your choices are out of control doesn't mean that God is not in control. But he says one other thing that I want us to see from verse 12. He says that God is in control even when circumstances seem out of control. You know, David knew what it was like with change out of control. He knew what it was like with choices out of control. And he knew what it was like when circumstances were out of control. I mean, you can look at David's life and look at it in a number of ways. I mean, just look at his children. I mean, you talk about circumstances out of control. Remember the incestuous relationship between Amnon and Tamar, his half-sister? What a mess. What a disgrace. And David said, essentially, nothing to Amnon. Are you kidding me? You're his dad. And because of that, Absalom grew bitter towards his dad because David said nothing to Amnon. Circumstances totally out of control. And then there was Absalom, and that night when David had to flee Jerusalem, cross the brook Kidron and out into the wilderness to escape the circumstances because they were out of control. And in that revolt, Absalom kills Amnon, and then Absalom is killed put to death by Adonai. Absalom is killed anyway. But the point is, David is losing his children. And then you come to this chapter, and Adonijah is trying to seize the throne, and eventually Solomon is going to take his life. Circumstances with his kids, circumstances with his family, totally out of control. But listen to what David prays in verse 12. He says, both riches and honor come from you, and you reign over all. In your hand is power and might. In your hand it is to make great and to give strength to all. Is that not a tremendous verse? I mean, that is powerful. When David looked at the mess he made in his life, he looked at the mess of his family, the ones he had lost. He looks at all of this rebellion that's going on in the kingdom. He could still say, God, everything rests in your hands. His life is a mess. He had made a mess completely out of his life. Maybe there's someone here today that might be there. You made a mess out of your life, your children, a mess somewhere in your life. The great news of the gospel is that we can come before the God of all there is and know that he is in control. And when everything in your life seems totally out of control, completely out of control, God is in control. He's sovereign. He is in control. So David comes to the Lord and he prays. When changes are out of control, when choices are out of control, when circumstances are out of control, God is still in control. And here's the clincher, verse 13. Now therefore, our God, we thank you and praise your glorious name. He comes before God in absolute surrender, and he prays this. Now therefore, our God, we thank you and praise your glorious name. I'm going to give you a mathematical equation here. Problems plus prayer equals praise. Problems plus prayer equals praise. And I don't know what kind of problems are out of control in your life, but I do know that when you bring them to the one who is in control, you will walk away, you will leave with that burden lifted, because burdens are lifted at Calvary. Is that not why we've come here today? Now, therefore, God, our God, we thank you and praise your glorious name. Is that not why we come here today? We have no idea what change is going to take place in the next year. And we've yet to see, you know, some of the circumstances, the choices that we've made in the past might bring. But I'll tell you what, we need to come to him in absolute surrender because he is in control. Our God is in control. You know, when it really comes down to it, that decision that we make to make him Lord of all, to be all in, makes it pretty easy when you understand that he's in control. He's in control. It doesn't matter those choices that we've made in the past when we come to him and ask him to be a part of that, to take that burden, to do whatever he needs to do, then we can fully understand that he's the burden bearer. He is in control. We're going to ask the worship team to come back up. And I want us to worship like David worshiped this morning. Now, therefore, our God, we thank you and praise your glorious name. Father, thank you again for your word. I thank you, Lord, that your word is as up-to-date as tomorrow's newspaper, that it is as relevant to each one of us as it was to each one that was mentioned in your word. And Lord, we pray for each person here today that you would just touch them where they need to be touched in their lives. And we'll give you the praise and the glory for that. In Jesus' name, amen. And just before I go, I need to tell you that if you are here and there are things out of control in your life, we want to pray with you. We want to help you to get through that, to come alongside you. You might want to take a step toward the altar this morning. There are people that want to meet you.